We all know we're supposed to love our neighbor. But what about that neighbor? The one who tests your patience, pushes your buttons, parks in your spot? In this series, we'll talk about how to deal with difficult people without losing your patience, your values, or your sense of humor. Because Jesus didn't say, love your neighbor unless they're annoying. Jesus said, love your neighbor as yourself.
Welcome to the third week of our series called Love Your Neighbor, Even That One. The one who pushes your buttons, the one who tailgates you down Tiburon Boulevard, the one who is always complaining about your yard, your trees, your security lights, your garbage cans, your everything, the one who steals your ideas at work. Yes, even that one. In this series, we're learning how to navigate the gauntlet of difficult, demanding, and troublesome people in our lives and still find joy and peace in spite of them. We're walking through five real-world struggles involving other people and how Jesus teaches us to respond with wisdom, grace, and love. And so far, here's the bottom line. Jesus wants us to love everyone. But that doesn't mean you can't set healthy boundaries, like we talked about last week. Your assignment from God is too important to let other people pull you down. You've been given a great gift. You've been entrusted with a great gift. God has ordained your future. But it's up to you whether you stay the course or allow others to hold you back. Loving your neighbor also doesn't mean letting them define who you are. As we discussed in the first week of the series, you don't need more approval from other people. You don't need more applause, more things to prove yourself worthy. You are already more than enough just as you are. And when you stop living for what other people think about you, you can start living for God's purposes and find greater happiness. Today, I want to talk with you about a third type of struggle, human struggle. I want to talk with you today about when people pressure you. When I first came to St. Hilary a little more than 10 years ago, I was fresh out of seminary, a new priest. I had bold dreams, big ideas to change the church. I was full of passion and excitement. I couldn't wait to get started. I reported at that time to the pastor of the church, a wise and much older man named Father Brown. He was known to be a good and wise and loving mentor. He had trained a lot of new priests in his day. But practically every time I came to Father Brown with a new idea, what if we tried this? What if we did that? I always got the same response. He would just look at me, smile, and say, no. One word, that's it. No discussion, no explanation, just no. It got to be so bad, I'd walk into his office and start opening my mouth, and he'd be shaking his head already. No, Roger, no, we're not going to do that. Not going to happen. Well, today I'm the pastor. Father Brown's at another church. He's doing well, and we get together about once a month or so for dinner, and we laugh about the old times together. And, you know, truth be told, usually he was right in saying no. Me, I'm a little different, though. I have a personality where I want to try to please everyone, make everyone happy. I don't like conflict, and I'll go out of my way to avoid it. Sometimes in my job, I do have to say no, but I don't like it, I feel uncomfortable with it, and most of the time, I dread it. It's like I've got this little people pleaser in me that just wants to nod yes to everything so people will be happy. In fact, a few years ago, a friend of mine got me this little guy, a custom-built bobblehead. It looks just like me, except the bald spot on the back, for which I'm very grateful. He's cute, isn't he? He's like a little good luck charm. And, you know, if you want to pick up one, we've got them on sale at the welcome desk in the lobby. 2 for $1 today, or a family pack of 4. You can save even more. I'm just kidding. But what I love about this little guy, what I think is so funny, is that his head only goes in one direction. Up and down, up and down, up and down, right? He can't say no either. Even my bobblehead is a yes man. And that's a problem, because sometimes loving your neighbor means saying no, kindly, gently, and with great love. Sometimes you just have to say no. When people pressure you, it is tempting to comply, conform to their wishes, do what they say. Sometimes it's just easier that way. But when God has put something deep down in your spirit, when you know it's right, what he wants, that's when you have to politely decline the invitation to cave, concede, capitulate, and compromise. Otherwise, things can go very wrong. That's what happened to King Zedekiah in the first reading today. He was surrounded by politically powerful figures, royal officials, military commanders, noblemen, high-ranking advisors. These were the men who were the power behind the throne. They held significant sway in the kingdom. And they came to King Zedekiah with a complaint about another man. His name was Jeremiah. Jeremiah was a prophet sent by God to help Zedekiah through very dangerous and turbulent political times. But these men didn't agree with Jeremiah. They said to the king, to King Zedekiah, "Jeremiah ought to die. He is demoralizing the soldiers who are left in the city and all the people by saying such things." What was he saying? Well, he was going around telling everyone, soldiers and all the other people, "Stop fighting with your enemy, Babylon." Babylon was attacking them. And Jeremiah was saying, "Stop defending. Stop fighting. Just surrender." He said, that's what God wanted. Well, these powerful men close to the king didn't agree, thought Jeremiah was a traitor, and wanted to take him down. Now, Zedekiah was basically a puppet king. He had been placed on the throne by Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the enemy that they were fighting. Zedekiah was basically a vassal king. And Zedekiah was weak. He lacked courage and was constantly torn between doing what was right in the eyes of God and doing what these men all around him, men with a great deal of political clout, wanted him to do. And so in the reading today, Zedekiah, King Zedekiah, answered them and said, "Jeremiah is in your power." For the king could do nothing with them. Zedekiah was afraid. He didn't want to make waves, rock the boat. He didn't have the fortitude to stand up to those men. He let them bully him into doing something he knew was not right, and he caved under the pressure. Zedekiah wanted to avoid conflict, so he handed Jeremiah over to those men. And they took him and threw Jeremiah into this deep, dark pit with no food, no water, no light. Scripture says Jeremiah sank in the mud. They left him there to die. This is what can happen. This is what can happen when we don't stand up for ourselves, what we know is right. Loving your neighbor does not always mean pleasing your neighbor. Sometimes the most loving thing you can do is say no. There have been many times in my life when people have tried to pressure me, convince me to do something I didn't feel comfortable with. Peer pressure as a teenager. A boss who actually ordered me to falsify, be dishonest on a company report. A family member who meant well but offered bad advice. One time, someone even tried to recruit me into a cult. That is a story in and of itself, I'll tell you one day. But I've learned over the years, you just can't let people pressure you into doing what you know deep down is wrong. And so when that friend of yours wants you to invest in a business deal that looks a little shady, not right, you can turn it down. You can say no thanks. When your neighbors invite you to join in the gossip about another neighbor, you can politely excuse yourself from the conversation. When your family or friends tell you to tone it down with all that God talk, you know, all the religious rhetoric, "Hey, could you not pray before meals, you know, at a restaurant? It embarrasses me. Everybody's looking at me." You can stand up for God for what you believe. Zedekiah is the perfect example of what happens when we allow ourselves to be pressured into conformity and silence. It is easy to kind of throw up our hands and say, "Well, that's the world I live in. I got people pressuring me. Might as well give in." But there's always something you can do. You can stand up, stand your ground. You can speak the truth. You can honor your values. Unfortunately, Zedekiah didn't push back, and he let those powerful men, fear of those powerful men, override his obedience to God. When I was 12 years old, I had a kind of a tough time in school. I was a good student, made solid grades, but I was small for my age, not a lot of meat on my bones, and I was shy and awkward. It made me an easy target for bullies. Well, my mom thought that I needed a little boost, so she took me to come see a man who owned the vitamin store where my mom would buy all her supplements. This was back in the 70s. She was ahead of her time. But I got to tell you, these weren't the fun, fruity gummies that kids get today, right, with all their vitamins. No, these were old school, chalky, horse-sized pills, iron, calcium, niacinamide, ginkgo biloba, you name it, I was forced to take it. A full alphabet of wellness, but absolutely zero flavor. Anyway, this man who owned the vitamin store, he was in really good shape. You know, he was buff, had big muscles, a powerful man. And he agreed to teach me how to lift weights, to bulk up, get stronger so I could take on those bullies at school. Well, it sounded like a good plan to me, so I agreed and we got off to a strong start. He taught me how to bench press and perform squats and deadlifts, build up my biceps and my triceps, and we were going strong. We were having a great time, and I was getting excited. I couldn't wait to show off my new physique at school, you know, impress those bullies and maybe a few girls as well in the process. But somewhere along the line, things went wrong. The lessons got way off track. It got weird. A couple of months in, he started encouraging me to get in touch with my spirit animal. He said it would make me stronger. I could lift more weights. All right. And then a few weeks later, he started talking to me about the elements, you know, earth, air, fire, and water. But he told me that these elements were sacred in and of themselves. I thought, I never heard that in church. Doesn't quite sound right. But I listened respectfully. And then a little while later, he actually encouraged me to start calling upon various gods and goddesses. Greek gods and goddesses. He said they could help me. That's when I knew this was getting too weird. I needed to draw the line. Somehow, as a 12-year-old, I found the courage to say no. I was polite but firm. And I remember telling him, I'm sorry, but I have my own religion. I believe in Jesus, not in a pantheon of gods. After that, I pulled out of the training and never went back. I didn't hate him. I wasn't angry with him. In fact, in many ways, I still respected him, admired him, and was grateful for all that he had done thus far. I just knew we couldn't move forward together. You can still love someone while at the same time refusing to back down from your convictions. Jesus never stopped loving the Pharisees, you know, those religious leaders who are always against him. He never stopped loving them. He fought with them, got angry with them, called them hypocrites, but he never stopped loving them. Or Pilate, the one who crucified him, or the crowds who wanted him crucified. He never stopped loving them. He forgave them, but he stood his ground. Second reading today, the Apostle Paul says that for the sake of the joy that lay ahead of him, Jesus endured the cross, despising its shame. That's interesting, isn't it? What did Paul mean when he said that Jesus despised the shame of the cross? It may not be what you think. Back then, crucifixion was an extreme measure used by the Romans, not only to put someone to death, but to do it with maximum shame, embarrassment, and humiliation. The entire process was intended to be degrading. The person was stripped of all of their clothing. They were mocked and then tortured and then left to die slowly and publicly, out in front of everyone. It was considered the most shameful way to die, and so it was only used on slaves and criminals, but it was used on Jesus. And he didn't let the shame, the humiliation, the embarrassment keep him from his purpose. Jesus could have stopped it at any time. Pilate gave him every opportunity to walk away. But Jesus would not be controlled by the fear, the shame of the cross. That's what Paul meant when he said Jesus despised the cross. He would not be pressured by the brutality, the shamefulness of crucifixion. He would not be pressured into walking away from what he had come to do. And because he stayed strong, you and I can walk free. In the gospel, Jesus today told his disciples, "Do you think I have come to establish peace on the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division." Now, Jesus did not intend the division. That's not what he wanted. But he knew that's what would happen. He knew making a choice for him would inevitably bring conflict among even the people closest to us, even within families. See, not everyone is going to understand your decisions about faith or anything else. Not everyone is going to support you. Some people will try to get you to change your mind, take a different route. They might pressure you into doing things the way they want you to do them, intimidate you into backtracking and changing course. They might stir up conflict. Sometimes people will talk about you, laugh at you, judge you behind your back. They might even threaten your livelihood, your job, your reputation, your peace of mind. But don't take the bait. That pressure is not worth walking away from your purpose. Friends, you were not created to be a bobblehead, saying yes to everything just to keep the peace. You were created to fulfill your destiny. Love does not always say yes. Sometimes love stands tall. Love speaks truth. Love points the way forward. I wonder if you or someone you love right now is feeling pressure from other people in some area of your life. It could be big or small. I wonder if you feel like people are telling you to do it their way, follow their lead, maybe even intimidating you. Perhaps they don't think you have the nerve to resist or the backbone to say no, thank you. Maybe they even think because you're a person of faith, you believe in God, come to church, that you'll just lie down like a doormat. But listen, Jesus never caved under the pressure. Jeremiah refused to remain silent. 12-year-old me somehow figured out a way to defend his faith. And even King Zedekiah came through in the end, ordered his men to rescue Jeremiah from the pit. He did the right thing, and by the grace of God, so can you. You don't have to argue with other people. You don't have to fight with them or justify your position. You simply have to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and love your neighbor enough to say, respectfully, politely, with courage, conviction, and kindness, thanks, but no thanks.